And with that, we are going to continue. Now we will move to back to number seven. This is the license fee package. Director Kirschman will stay with us as we move into the wildlife division portion of this particular item.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the commission and Secretary Roebling. I'm going to continue on with the PowerPoint that Director Van Meteren and Deputy Secretary Simpson started earlier in the day on the fee package for or from the department. Obviously, on the next couple of slides that I'm going to visit about focuses on the Division of Wildlife or the hunting and fishing license piece of this overall fee package. So bottom line, commissioners, when we look at this, the primary reason why we did the evaluation, looking at the need for revenue from a potential license fee package, is to maintain our programs and services and expand where possible. Deputy Secretary Simpson talked earlier about how he described probably the focal points between the parks being on that asset management and on the Division of Wildlife sides more on that programmatic and services that we do. But I'm also going to talk about some of the asset management because our asset management is a little bit different look in the wildlife side than it is on the Parks Division side. But we really look at this to maintain programs and services. Obviously, within the Wildlife Division, we are extremely heavy on the program side, whether we're talking about habitat and access, whether we're talking about programs that we offer up to landowners. When we talk about services, we're talking about wildlife damage, ADC, our licensing office, all the different services that we provide, education programs and forums, all those things that folks look forward to and provide the maximum amount of opportunities to enjoy hunting and fishing experiences here in South Dakota. As it's been talked about already, we obviously, over the last couple of years, have been what I would consider probably very diligent in where we were prioritizing our funds and our efforts and activities. And through budget adjustments and implementing cost-saving measures, and obviously maximizing the federal aid that's been available to us, like the Pittman Robertson and Dingell Johnson funds that we've had numerous conversations about, we've been able to maintain those programs and services at a level that we want to be at, and also, quite honestly, at the level that is expected from us from the public as well, whether we're talking specifically landowners or our sportsmen and women enjoying the hunting and fishing opportunities in South Dakota. What I would offer to you, now we're at a point, though, based on the cost-saving measures and the adjustments that we've made and looking at the cost of doing business, how that's gone up, no different than what Director Van Meteren shared with you earlier this morning, we have identified a need of approximately $5 to $5.5 million to help us moving forward with our programs and services and managing our things in the Wildlife Division as well. So, as I mentioned, looked at the need and identified about $5 to $5.5 million. And I'm going to get into some of these numbers a little bit more detail when we go through the licenses. But when we looked at where those fees would come from, we looked at all of our hunting and fishing license fees, trapping, all those things. A good number of the majority of those we are bringing forward a recommendation for some level of adjustment. As Deputy Secretary Simpson said earlier today, there are adjustments that are being brought forward for both residents and non-residents, but certainly you will see a higher level of focus on the non-resident part, a lot of that being from conversations, discussions we've had internally, as with the commission, and what has been brought forward by, quite honestly, the users, in particular residents of South Dakota. Even earlier today in the open forum, you heard comments in respect to that concept again. And so that's certainly nothing new to us. So when you look at the overall adjustments or recommendations that we're bringing forward, ultimately comes to approximately $1.1 million from residents and $4.2 million from non-residents. And how we derive these numbers were based off the 2023 license sales and looking specifically at those. Now, again, that is a time shot or a picture in a moment, right? Those are the licenses that we sold in 2023. What I would also offer up to you when we think about this, why we also were able to maintain our programs and services over the last 3 to 4 years, 5 years, is also because our fishing and hunting license sales have remained strong. Had they gone the other way, we would have had probably more challenges. But what we do see and what we continue to see are hunting and fishing license sales remaining strong and in some cases slowly going up. So these are being projected revenues based on the 2023 licenses that were sold with the recommended adjustments that we've shared with you and that we're going to go over here. And if that base continues to be maintaining or increasing, then obviously that revenue projection will adjust accordingly. When you look at it from a residency standpoint, again, I said that burden is probably heavier on the non-resident side. These license recommendations that we bring forward to you today is about a 13% increase on the resident side and about a 24% increase on the non-resident side of the list of license fees that we're going to look at. Collectively, totality, again, just a little over a 20% increase. But on the hunting and fishing licenses, because everything is sold by resident and non-resident licenses, you can see the breakdown here by the residency. Again, has been mentioned, 2014 was the last year that we had a fee package in front of the commission for hunting and fishing licenses. Obviously, we want to maintain the high standards of customer service and programs to provide those opportunities that our users are looking for, while, as Director Van Meeren said, also remain affordable. We don't want to price people out from participating in hunting and fishing in South Dakota, but also to look at and to adjust accordingly for the cost of doing business and the inflationary rates that we have seen for many pieces of the work we do. So the next four slides, I'm going to go over the breakdown of both resident and non-resident fee adjustment recommendations. The first slide here is for resident, small game, and fishing licenses. Again, primary reason why you're going to see four slides here is I broke it up basically in half so it's easier to see. And so there's no particular reason, Ryan, but it was just easier to break it down by small game and fishing. And so this is what you see in front of you. This is resident specific. So when you look at the top, there is the various fishing licenses that are available to our resident sportsmen and women. You can see the fee increases range from $2 to $5, depending on the specific license that you might be looking at. A combination of licenses that we do offer are obviously very popular license types in our repertoire of license that we offer, and you can see the adjustments there. Small game hunting, again, another popular license type, $3 adjustments there for small game. Waterfowl, we have just a couple of tags because most hunters utilize their small game or a combination license to hunt waterfowl. But these are some limited draw licenses, and you can see the range from $3 to $5 there. And then fur bear and predator varmint is a $1 adjustment from those respective licenses as well. So you can see in general, for small game and fishing, it literally ranges from about $1 to $5 on the resident side of things. Now, resident big game licenses, apologize for the numbers are a little bit smaller here, but did want to provide on one slide the various big game licenses. A lot of these are limited draw. Some are over the counter, obviously, from turkey, deer, antelope, elk, and then mountain goat, bighorn sheep, and mountain lion. You look at turkey at the top, again, the different spring and fall license options that we have available to our resident hunters. Again, those license fee adjustments range from $3 to $5 for the respective turkey licenses. On deer, there is a laundry list of licenses that we make available to our resident hunters. One key point I do want to share with you and the listeners looking at this, you will see license types that are two tag and license types that are three tag. Three tag have been in place since about 2008. 2009, somewhere in there, we were at a time where we had extremely high deer numbers across the state. We were dealing with a lot of depredation. We actually implemented a three-tag license option at that time for the standpoint of when an individual is out there deer hunting to help with meeting the harvest objectives and reducing the numbers. So we have a three tag, but that three tag license was at the same price as a two tag. It was more of an incentive to help with harvest. So you're going to see those are included in here as well. They are listed at the same price as a two tag license as they have been in the past. But again, there are some adjustments here for deer. Deer and antelope are going to, as you look at it very closely, the same type of license type. For example, a deer one tag any versus a one tag any or a buck and antelope, you're going to see those at the same price and the same recommended fee adjustment level. In our system, and as what we have as department for quite some time, we've treated those license types very similar or the same when we were looking at deer and antelope hunting seasons. So that's why you'll see very, very similar, if not identical, license adjustment recommendations for the various license types. Again, ranging anywhere from $4 to $10, depending on the license type. You will see on both special buck under deer and special antelope. Under the antelope, you would see a recommended increase of $25 for the special buck. Again, fewer numbers available of those particular licenses. Provide some special opportunities or unique opportunities for hunting, and hence why you see a higher level of recommended fee adjustment for those. Elk hunting season, we have two license types, any elk and antlerless. You see a moderate increase for 20 for the any elk and 11 for the antlerless elk. Again, highly coveted licenses. People are very excited and looking forward to elk hunting opportunities, and those are the recommended fee adjustments for those particular licenses. Mountain goat, bighorn sheep, a $20 increase. Again, highly coveted licenses. Again, numbers are very minimal, right? When you look at it from a revenue generation standpoint, because we only have a couple of licenses that we issue on an annual basis. And then mountain lion, the recommended change of increasing that fee by $2. Now, flipping over to the non-resident side of things. First slide here is non-resident small game and fishing. Again, when you look closely at it and compare it to the resident side of things, you are going to see larger fee adjustment recommendations for the similar type of licenses. So we look at fishing on the non-resident side. We have annual, one-day, three-day, and paddlefish are the main fishing licenses that we offer. Annual recommended fee increase of 13, the 1 day increase of 10, and the 3 day increase of 8. Very popular licenses. Obviously, we have a strong contingency of anglers coming to South Dakota for our very premier fishing opportunities, whether it's fishing on the river for walleye, fishing in the Northeast glacial lakes for walleye, panfish, perch fishing. Whether it's summer fishing, whether it's ice fishing, right? It doesn't matter. We have a lot of folks wanting to come to experience our high quality and premier fishing opportunities in South Dakota. Small game, there's the 10-day license. The recommended change here would be $21. Obviously, the non-resident small game license is probably one of the most important, if not the most important, single license type in all license types that we sell from a budgetary perspective. The income from non-resident small game licenses oftentimes carry the weight from somewhere between 13 and 19% of our total revenue that we generate for our budget. So we still are the number one place to go pheasant hunting. Most states, when you go pheasant hunting, average harvest per an individual might range from 3 to 6. In South Dakota, it's 9 or 9+. And so we know that we still are the premier pheasant hunting place in the world, quite honestly, and hence our recommendation there at 21 for the small game non-resident license. Shooting preserve, again, some small adjustments there. 1 day of $4, the 5 day $20, and then the annual is a $25 adjustment there as well. The 5 day of those three license types are the most popular, the most widely used ones on the shooting preserves. The other two are at a much, much smaller number. Waterfowl, you can see the different license types that we have for waterfowl, the 10-day or the annual, the 3-day temporary. There's the spring light goose, early fall Canada goose, tundra swan. Again, you see similar type of adjustments here, the 10-day, a $29 adjustment. With that $29 adjustment, The license fee for that would be equivalent to the out-the-door price for a regular small game 10-day license as well. There are just different fees associated with the two license types, but at the end of the day, walking out the door, they would end up being the same price. A three-day increase of $25 up to $100 for waterfall there as well. Fur Bear, you see adjustment of $50. We only have a handful at best. Usually that number is very small of non-residents that come in and obtain a Fur Bear license, but it is a coveted one and looked at that from an increase of $50. And then predator varmint increased by $6. Now, non-resident big game. This is probably where you will see, and sportsmen and women of South Dakota and our non-resident hunters will see the highest level of recommended adjustments. This is where the majority of our conversations have occurred from license fee adjustments. Again, turkey, deer, antelope are the three primary big game species that are available to non-resident hunting opportunities. So first, looking at turkey, we've got the spring 1 and 2 tags and the fall 1 and 2 tags. You will see adjustments from 21 and 26 for the spring turkey licenses and 16 and 31 for the fall tag licenses. We've heard numerous times comments about the prices related to turkey hunting licenses. And so you can see the range goes from 16 up to 31 on the turkey hunting licenses for recommended adjustments. Deer is where deer and antelope, again, same type of license types in deer and antelope, just like I explained, and we covered on the resident side as well. This is where you would see from actual fee adjustment, the largest fee adjustments that can be found within our recommendations. You look at a one tag license, whether it's deer or antelope, current fee price is $280. The recommended fee increase would be $89, jumping it up to $369. And then you can see associated two tag licenses with similar type of adjustments. And then the three tag licenses. On the antlerless side of looking at licenses, you will see a smaller amount, but increases there as well from $20 to $30 for those license types as well. So the range would be from $20 to basically $89 for the regular license fees for deer and antelope. Again, depends on the tag or the license type, whether it's a single tag, a double tag, what kind of tag that might be. But you can see that's where the most substantial adjustments were made. You will also see on special buck under deer and special antelope under the antelope, a $90 recommended increase for that particular license that would bump that up, both of those respective licenses, to $644. You know, there's a lot of conversations about the big game licenses and the associated fees. Obviously, similar to what Director Van Meteren shared with you and discussed with you, looking at surrounding states and other states in comparison to fees. There is challenges within some of these hunting and fishing, especially big game, because nobody does apples to apples in terms of how they do their license structure and how they sell those various license types. But in general, when you look at these and these adjustments, we're certainly going to be in that neighborhood a little bit less and a little bit more from several of the surrounding states. So we believe that these are some very fair but also appropriate fee adjustment recommendations for these big game licenses. And then the last one I would point out is at the bottom in respect to preference points. Remember, right now, a preference point for a resident is $5. A preference point to be purchased by a non-resident is $10. Our recommendation here is to increase that by 10 for a total of $20 to purchase a preference point for a non-resident hunter. So those are the four slides that show the actual fee recommendations. You have those action sheets or the tables in front of you as well. So a quick overview, the projection of those hunting and fishing fee adjustments, and I shared this in the introductory slide, on the resident side would be about $1.1 million. On the non-resident side would be about $4.2 million with a total of right around that 5.3 to 5.4. Again, based on the 2023 license sales that we had for all these respective licenses. Again, from the resident standpoint, that looks at an increase right at approximately 13%. And for the non-resident type licenses, that would be an increase at 24%. So almost double of what the increases would be for the resident side of the adjustments. Now, I am going to switch gears here just a little bit and transition into one fee that we will talk about in the action sheet that would be a brand new fee as part of this fee package. And this is in respect to the Habitat Conservation Specialty Plate. This was an item that was brought forward as a bill and passed in the legislative session in 2024, House Bill 1119, and created this Habitat Conservation Specialty Plate. This was in an effort to, number one, raise additional funds for Habitat, but maybe even more importantly, make the awareness and promoting the concept of conservation and the need for habitat across the state of South Dakota. And this is just a great way for people that have a high interest in habitat and conservation to show their support for what we're doing here in South Dakota. The statute that was passed and put in place also had language in there for the commission to promulgate rule to set the fee for the emblem, or if I may call it the sticker, that would go on the license plate itself. And so what we are bringing forward as a recommendation would be a $50 fee for the set of emblems that would go on a vehicle, a car, a pickup, those types of vehicles, or $30 for motorcycles and ultimately ATVs as well, where you have one license plate. The concepts looking at would give options to people, pheasant, deer, a non-game bird, and even like a pasque flower and different things. So it is attractive and appealing to multiple folks that want to show support and show their pride in doing conservation habitat in South Dakota. The emblems themselves that can go on the plates will be able to be acquired or purchased on the GF&P website, or we will also have them available at our GF&P offices across the state. Again, it is also important that I should state that those are voluntary emblems for on those plates. It is not a requirement to do that. You purchase the plate at the county treasurer's office like you do all your other vehicle plates with the associated fees, but then the emblems would be the fees for, or the fees in this that we're asking you to set is for the emblems themselves. The fee will come to the department and it would be specifically used for habitat on private and public lands. So similar to what Director Van Meter described, where does the money go? And what would we use these funds from these recommended fees for? So first and foremost, the top priority in the Wildlife Division is habitat and access. We've been preaching this for the last three, 4 years. We have not waned from that. Even in times when we were doing budgetary adjustments, reducing or cutting equipment purchases or other things that we need to do our work, we have never waned away from putting funds towards habitat and access. And so these funds will help us to maintain those efforts for doing access for hunters, sportsmen and women to go hunting, fishing on private land, but available through public access. And it will also help us maintain our efforts on doing habitat work across the state, both on public lands and on private lands as well. In fact, we look back 3 years and our amount of funds that we are spending on habitat and access has gone up by 33%. Now that has been on purpose. That is a deliberate decision that we have been making because we believe that strongly in habitat and access and providing those opportunities, providing for the resources, and ultimately is what's going to create and provide opportunities for sportsmen and women. The funds would be utilized by us to match other funds that are available, whether that's through federal, state, or other NGO programs that are out there, non-government organizations, partners like Pheasants Forever, Turkey Federation, Ducks Unlimited, all the other ones that we work with. A key part to what we would use these funds for as well is maintaining a lot of the new habitat plots that we have done over the last several years as well. It's one thing to go establish them, but then there's also the maintenance and the operation of them as well. So that's a huge part of what we do on the habitat side of things. And again, this is going to help us just from the cost of doing business. Again, whether we're talking about the materials that we need to do habitat and access, the equipment that we use and need to manage our properties or do these things, and then the staff that make that happen. None of our habitat and access successes that we've experienced over the last several years happen without our staff. And we've talked numerous times about, we reached our goal of 1.5 million plus acres of private land enrolled into public access. That doesn't happen without staff, right? It takes time to do that. They have to build relationships. They got to spend time with them. And so that's a big part of the cost of doing business. Also for us, customer service is huge. It's one of the primary pillars that we work on a daily basis. The three areas that I have listed here are not the only three where these funds would be used to maintain the services that we do, but I think these are three excellent examples to share with you where we would utilize these funds. First, law enforcement, maintain and fill vacant positions. So when we look in the Wildlife Division, we're just under 300 staff that exist within the division. Approximately 84, 85 of those could be conservation officers. They are a key part of our agency. They deliver habitat and access, and they do a whole lot more than that. But there's a lot of costs associated with vehicles, boats, and other equipment that our officers use. And so staff support and the trainings that they do is critical to maintain for their safety and for their preparedness and for delivering programs on the ground for our agency. But a key thing for this is we have to utilize licensed dollars, because our Pittman Robertson funds that we get, law enforcement activities and expenditures are not eligible. Education. We're sitting in the Outdoor Campus West facility right now. The number of students and people that come through these facilities and the one over at the Sioux Falls office, these funds will help us maintain programs and services that we provide, Hunting 101, all the different classes, everything that we are focused on to retain, recruit hunters out there and get more people in the outdoors. And also, quite honestly, to, again, going from the staffing standpoint, to help backfill some vacant positions that we have had as well. A key service that we provide, you could call it a program, but quite often we look at it more as a service, is what we do with landowners and producers when it comes to our wildlife damage program. These funds will help us assure that we have the funds available when we have, for example, a really tough winter and we're dealing with a lot of deer depredation, elk depredation, turkey depredation. We look back at the winter of 2022, and I don't have to look far, looking at Commissioner Locke and Commissioner Whitmire, we know how tough of a winter it can be in that part of the state, as well as any other part of the state. That particular year, we spent over $1 million on deer depredation alone. Quite often you can't just simply plan for that. And thankfully last winter we didn't have that same type of expenditure or didn't have that hard of a winter. But having the fees available can assure that we can always help those folks that contact us requesting service. And we have always taken the approach, even looking at the last couple of years, we don't turn people down. Where we can help them, we're going to help them. The fees would be essential and the equipment that we use in our depredation services. An example, again, talking about deer and others, the panels that we use, sometimes we loan them. Sometimes it's through permanent agreements over a longer period of time. You folks and commissioners working on the farm and ranches know that steel has gone up considerably as well. Whether you're talking fence posts, whether you're talking panels or other materials that you use, we're going to be facing and have been facing those same things. Animal Damage Control, or ADC program, this will help us fund those requests for services dealing with coyote and prairie dog issues. We do have dedicated funding sources. Some of that comes from our agency, but every year we do not have the overall dollar amounts that are needed by the dedicated funding source. That is fulfilled by using licensed dollars. And we do it because we understand the importance of working with our landowners and producers, ranchers across the entire state of South Dakota on dealing with these types of things. And so to maintain our level of services, that's where we're talking about these fee packages. Two other areas that I do want to talk about are asset management and operational excellence. Asset management, as I said a few moments ago, is a little bit different than what Director Van Meteren described on the park side. Park side, we're really talking about all of the different building structures, the state park system that has to be managed. On the Division of Wildlife side, yes, we do have a few facilities, our offices, but you can even look at our 280 game production areas across the state as an asset management piece. We have management, we have weed control, we have maintenance of the habitat on there, fencing, all those different things. So that plays into there as well. So from an asset management, the fee adjustments, we're really looking at it to help looking at dealing with a lot of the inflationary increases to conduct business. Utilities of and operations of our facilities and offices have gone up. Jeff mentioned the same thing from communications, technology support, those types of things have gone up. We have deferred maintenance on our offices and facilities as well. And as you walked in, you saw folks working on the bridge coming over the pond as well. On our facilities, we have some deferred maintenance that we need to work on as well. Replacement of equipment and replacement maintenance of our vehicle fleet. We don't get any work done across the state, whether we're talking about doing habitat and access, ADC, WDM, education, whatever it is. We have a big fleet of vehicles, and for our staff to be able to go out and do their work, that is a big part of taking care of replacing and maintenance of vehicles so we can get our work done. And another asset management that is highly important to our agency is facilitating fish production. And there we're talking about where we've been getting close, and we're getting close to completing our expansions at Cleghorn and McNenny. We're going to start RAS capabilities at Blue Dog. I mentioned that earlier with the hiring of our new manager up there. And then necessary equipment for the distribution of the fish that we do produce. Our hatcheries are a vital part of what we do in getting people in the outdoors, providing those opportunities, working on urban and community fisheries. But we also rely upon it extremely heavily when we do have the scenarios where we have drought conditions, we have winter kills, and when we have to do our stocking efforts to get those ponds and lakes back into where we want them to be. And from an operational excellence, we're really talking about our staff. A key part of the work that we get done on an annual basis is completed through support from seasonal and intern positions. Whether we're talking about wildlife damage, whether we're talking about education, our hatcheries, our Canada Goose depredation program, whatever it might be, we rely on seasonal staff and interns to help get that work done. The other part of being able to have those folks on, they are an excellent recruiting tool for new employees in the future. There are many staff that we have hired on in recent time that have actually come through our intern program or have been a seasonal employee. So it's a great recruitment pool as well for looking at future staff. Provide more opportunity and trainings and continued education for our staff. And just as important, ensure that we have the equipment needs that are met, whether it's simple things from computers that need to be replaced, again, to vehicles, software, things like that. So to kind of wrap that up, where the funds are go again, the number one priority is to maintain our programs and services. We have high expectations of ourselves to provide high quality programs, making sure people have opportunities. And at the same time, we expect a lot out of ourselves in providing the services to people, whether that's what you might define as simple customer service or providing services to people on the land, getting their licenses. Honestly, you can even look at services from the standpoint of, look at what our law enforcement staff did that we described during the flooding scenario down in this far southeast part of the state. People look at those type of events, they expect us to be there, and we will be there. But that is a big part of the fee package in front of you today from the wildlife side, is to maintain our programs and services. Habitat access, customer service, asset management. Again, I've mentioned it already, but we maintain programs and services because of our strategic approaches with the budgeting, cost-saving measures, and then, fortunately, in recent years, the level of federal aid that we've been coming our way on an annual basis, in particular the Pittman-Robertson funds. But I can say with confidence, without the fee adjustment going in place, we're going to have to make some decisions, and some of these programs and services will likely be reduced. That projection revenue that I shared with you, that 5 to 5.5 million, again, really breaks down to 1.1 from residents at about a 13% increase and a 4.2 million at a 24% increase for non-residents. I also talked about just the establishment of the fee for the Habitat Conservation Specialty Plate for those emblems to go on there. And again, these revenues will allow us to deliver opportunities and provide the best possible services and programs. We're dedicated, we're committed to this. The staff in the Wildlife Division are extremely dedicated to the programs and services that we do. And we want to be able to continue those services and programs to provide the premier hunting and fishing experiences that we all see and share and experience in South Dakota. So that is the last slide I had from the wildlife side, and I'd certainly be happy to answer any questions that you may have. And then I think Secretary Simpson's going to come up with the last slide and talk about a few things. Excuse me, Deputy Secretary. I saw the look over there, and I just about grabbed my stuff and jumped out the window here. So, all joking aside, but Madam Chair, I'll turn it back to you and try to answer any questions that you may have.
Very good. Thank you. Commissioners, any questions or comments at this time for Director Kirschman? Are you saying yes?
You start at one end. I think we should wait till they all three come up this way.
That's fine. If you'd like to do that, we could certainly do that.
All right.
We'll hear from, sounds like the commission would like to hear from everyone before we come forward with questions. So Deputy Secretary Simpson, are you ready for your final comments?
Sorry. Deputy Secretary Scott Simpson. Clear the air there. You have that next slide. Appreciate the fact that we were a little detailed on this. I apologize for the length, but this is a big step for us. We don't come to the commission for fee increases very often. And when we do, we want to make sure that you have the information that you need to make these decisions and make sure that we are giving you the justification to make these decisions, because we understand that we're reaching into people's pockets and we're users ourselves. None of us want to pay any more than we have to. And we feel like these adjustments are reasonable, but they also get us where we feel like we need to be. We think that we can make these increases last. We're hoping that this is a five-year plan for us. That would be our intent. We got to get some things to cooperate with us too, right? If we get some inflation numbers like we've had in the past, who knows? But that is our plan right now, is to run this for 5 years and see where we're at. So anyway, I just wrapping things up, I appreciate what Jeff and Tom put together. A lot of thought and hard work that went into this, trying to prepare you guys. Again, it gets lengthy, but this is a big step for all of us, and we want to make sure that everybody's prepared to do it. We're ready to take some questions, whether that be to Tom, be to Jeff, myself. We would certainly entertain those, and then we'll wrap up and move towards the action that's required by the commission.
Very good. Thank you. Commissioner Cole.
Commissioner Cole, if you guys could share the mic, it'd be a lot easier. Oh, you got one. All right. So I'm going to start with Jeff. Just a quick breakdown. I can't find it, and maybe you said it, on the percentage of the non-resident versus the resident overall.
Through the chair?
Yes.
Commissioner Cole, the breakdown, we cannot provide you with a breakdown overall of the non-residents or the residents of a park site. We don't receive a lot of the information on the park entrance licenses. What I can tell you is, both through our kiosk and our online sales, we feel like conservatively 20% of our entrance fees are non-resident based. The 80% or less would be resident-based. But I, unlike the Wildlife Division, I can't break those two down.
Because you don't keep the, okay. But roughly, your overall, you said, was it 20.2 when Secretary Roebling asked at the end?
Our fee package as a whole, the fees that we're increasing represent a 20.2% increase.
That's just Parks and Rec.
That's just
okay. That's what I wanted to be clear. Yeah, I just want to follow up. I mean, I think you guys did an excellent job. It's the first time I've seen you have to do this. And I think it's great. And all joking aside, I mean, this is a critical point, not only in this department, but in the country. And I think it's really imperative people understand what's going on. And I think your explanation of basically the asset management, you know, what things fell in line for us to do what we did, but we're past that point. And I mean, everybody knows what things are going up. You address this in a way to not only handle it immediately, but even look into the future a few years. And I mean, everybody should be commended on doing that. I mean, that's a tough job, and I think you did excellent. So,
good, Commissioner. Additional questions or comments, Commissioner Whitmire?
Yeah, Commissioner Whitmire. Yeah, thank you. You guys did a good job on this. I had a great job. One of the things, kind of thinking about the resident fishing, you know, residents, I'm pretty sure that non-residents don't have any kind of boat licensing fee. So a resident fisherman with a boat ends up $61 for an annual cost with him and his boat, whereas a non-resident coming in with a boat is just his tag, which is 80. So, you know, it kind of feels like an extra 10 bucks on that one would get you a little more on the non-resident. I mean, you know, in line with just because of that fishing, that boat license.
Madam Chair.
Yes, please.
I completely understand where you're coming from, Commissioner Whitmire. I would also make sure that everybody understands too, that the habitat stamp is included in that. So a non-resident has an additional $25 on top of that, whereas a resident would have 10. So that does kind of, the spread that you're talking about is probably increased a little bit too when we talk to, when we add in habitat stamp and those kinds of things. So just there are other fees that are incurred here. A license agent fee as well for a non-resident is $8. For a resident, it's $4. So there's even more there than maybe what's on this piece of paper. These are addressed specifically at the license fees that are in ruling. And how much that increases. So that, not trying to argue with you about it, just want to make sure that everybody's got the information.
Additional questions, comments?
Thank you. That gets it closer to 70 versus 105, which is exactly 50% higher. So, yeah, thank you. And then, dear resident, this list is currently 34. They're $40, I believe, for a deer tag.
So, again, as, sorry, Madam
Chair. Yes, please.
Again, the key here is when you look at these fees in here, these are the actual fees that are in administrative rule. Now, license types, so various license types, there's the fee and then some have a surcharge. And in that case, that's where that would be that higher number. So some licenses have a surcharge applied to them as well. Some licenses have an agent fee applied to them. None of that is included in these particular. We are just strictly talking about what the license fee is and administrative rule and then the associated adjustment recommendation.
Okay, yeah, just it was a little confusing with 34 versus the new fee is 39 and I know it's already 40. So, yeah. All right, thank you.
Excellent. Any additional questions from the commission, comments? I will just say this. I know as we were putting this together, the department worked with a subcommittee that included Commissioner White, Commissioner Bartling, and myself. And the information that was provided went back many years to look at the fees and the different levels throughout the divisions that we looked at, in addition to our surrounding states and what they're doing. So I think as we worked together as a team to provide input, suggestions, what we have before us is a lot of hard work, and I applaud all of you for including the commission and making sure we have the information that we need. And it will be interesting to give the public the opportunity to weigh in on what we move forward with today. So if we don't have any additional questions or comments, we do need a motion and a second to move forward with this. I do have one question, though, Director Kirschman. the license emblem. Is that included in this, or do we? It is.
So, Madam Chair, I think I'll turn it over to Deputy Secretary Simpson. Because in your book is the action sheet, and the action sheet would basically cover all of the fee adjustments, both on the Division of Parks, Division of Wildlife. It has the emblem there, and then also the non-resident fee side of the park. So maybe, Scott, if you want to take that over.
Madam Chair, page 13 in your books is the proposal for the department fee adjustments. By adopting the proposal without the, you know, as it was presented to you today, that'll open up several chapters, which include all of the fees that were referenced today. Several different chapters. Fees are kind of all throughout our rule process. But it would include the adjustments that were presented today for Parks and Recreation. It would create a new rule for charging non-residents a different park entrance license fee than residents, because that's not out there right now. That's a new fee. And then it would adjust the wildlife fees, fishing, hunting, and then it would also create the fee for the emblem on the conservation plate. So if your desire is to move forward with things as they were presented today, that's what we would need, is a motion to adopt the proposal on page 13 and the supportive information after that.
Very good. Thank you for that. Moved. Moved by Commissioner Call.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Teal. Any comments on the motion to adopt the proposal and all of the items included in it? Seeing none, all those in favor of adopting the proposal, say aye.
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 Bartling votes aye.
Those opposed? It is adopted.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Outstanding.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Appreciate your patience. Timeline's on the board up here now. We've got 30 days worth of public comment. We'll come back in October and work towards finalization and then move forward on to the next step.
Thank you.
Thank you.
With that, we are